Hi everyone, welcome to the sixth and final installment of our mini podcast series about how to effectively impact demand for child immunization. I'm Marcus, you probably remember me from the previous series, and I have with me today my colleague Belle.
Hi.
And Sunny.
Hello.
In our last session, we discussed grandmothers and the pivotal role they play in how a child is brought up and what health behaviors and are practiced. And we were also thinking, and actually we considered for our sample of the research, other groups and other influences in the community who would actually guide and help the fathers and the caregivers to make these decisions, right? What other groups that you can talk about are influential in how a child is treated or how family matters are approached?
I guess the other influential people in the community were kind of traditional leaders and religious leaders. And that harks back to the point we made, you know, a few episodes ago about the key value systems in the communities, religion and tradition. So the people that are seen as leaders in these areas are obviously highly esteemed. We found that, you know, religious leaders, for example, they're sometimes seen as pretty much the voice of God in some communities. So you abide by what they say. It seemed to be wise, but also good for your actual soul and your well-being to abide by what they say. So they have a lot of power, and even more than trusted advisors, I would say. You know, we saw that, you know, almost, I think it was like almost 9 in 10 of the mothers say that they listen to religious leaders' advice on family matters. That was across the different countries, right? So first of all, we know that they are being approached about family matters, and then their advice is listened to. And they are expected to keep information confidential. We know that in some communities, especially more so in Nigeria, like this idea of people gossiping about your business and things that pertain to you, it can be a concern. So they feel safe, I would say. And you know, in the hierarchies societally, their advice is also, like I said previously, I think, really listened to by fathers and by husbands. So there are a couple of people that a mother might go to if she wants to kind of convince her husband of something, or if they're having a challenge. One might be the grandmother, the father's mother, who we spoke about in the last episode, but the other might be a religious leader. Who is very respected by the father as well. So I think that's also something that is to keep in mind, how much power and influence they have.
And actually, I remember, Belle, from you've been talking about caregivers' experience, right? But we also had the influencers' voice. And I remember them, they were saying the same. As actually, they were stating and reporting the mothers and fathers come to them to talk about, generally, well, religion could be the main case, but also health or family matters. So this is happening. We need to understand how we can channel this in a better way, explore how we are actually doing it, if we are doing it, and understanding the best way of involving and engaging these different leaders in the community, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about this? Points on in this topic? What else could you add from your perspective?
It's interesting, actually, because I know Belle said in one of the earlier episodes that religion is universally seen as important in the three countries that we went to, and not necessarily a correlating factor as to whether somebody would vaccinate or not, because people who are very pro-vaccination are also very pro-religious, and so are people who are very anti-vaccination. So it's not the determinant factor. But we do know that religious leaders are revered and listened to in lots of different matters, and they have been involved in helping vaccination drives previously. And really, the biggest point about trying to speak about religious leaders and about grandmothers and other people within communities who can actually support vaccination programs is because there is a reason why lots of vaccination programs focus on the mother only, right? Is because healthcare workers get to speak to the mother in antenatal classes. So therefore, that's why they're putting lots of the intervention focused on the mother only. But as we've already heard through this podcast series, whole communities decide whether they're going to vaccinate their children. And what we're trying to do is to really illuminate, well, what is the other types of ways in which you can get into communities? And it seems less daunting or less scary to programmers, one being grandmothers. And also for religious leaders as well, because their reach that they have, their ability to be able to speak to fathers and people who might stand in the way is really great. And that's what I think.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a great consideration as well. Thanks, Tony, for that. And before we say goodbye to our listeners, I would actually have another question for us today, because after your experience doing the research, and also bearing in mind that the environment we have at the moment, the environment we live in, how the children immunization could look like in the near future for you, if you want to start.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to say what it would look like. I could say what I would like it to look like. But I mean, I would guess, and to summarize, like the foundation of it is that families need more support. So they need more information about what vaccines are and what they aren't, about how to manage the situation once a child has been vaccinated. They need more just practical support in the before, the during, and the after the process, and the social element of it, the social support that encourages immunizing one's child without necessarily discarding one's traditions and beliefs, because as we've seen, they can live alongside each other. So I think that we need to think about interventions and programs that look at all of these things, and rather than maybe just focusing on the clinic experience or something. You know, we have to get them there in the first place.
Yeah, I think that's a great reflection, but it's a combination of different elements, right? What do you think, Tony?
I mean, it'd be amiss not to mention that during the course of this project, we unexpectedly had had a big pandemic with COVID-19. And that will surely have a knock-on effect to childhood immunization. It's hard not to be pessimistic with everything happening in the world at the moment. And I think if we were going to look at any signs of optimism, is that the supply chains and ability to be able to deliver vaccines around the world has surely strengthened. But there are also many children who missed out on their vaccine doses, and fulfilling that backlog is going to be a huge challenge. We might see the increase in diseases that have been on a steady decline to come back again as well. And a lot of attention and focus shifted on towards tackling the pandemic, which meant that there was a potential that some of the routine immunizations for children was a bit neglected, which will have a knock-on effect to be able to rebuild from as well. So some signs of hope, but also lots of things to be aware of and to try and build upon in the future.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's a great reflection for people, country, and organizations making decisions on this area. Well, I think at this point, probably would like to say thank you to all the colleagues, because as Sunny was saying right now, it's been 3 years and it's been a great experience. And we have to say thank you to all our colleagues working on this project. But thanks to you guys as well for joining us during this series. I hope you enjoy it. And see you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.